Welcome back to Cast. I'm Caitlin. I'm finally ready to share my story of how my family abandoned me. And it starts when I was 19 after I moved to Lubbock. I barely graduated high school. Nobody even contacted me. I mean, yeah, I was in contact with my aunt on my mom's side, but other than her, nobody contacted me nor came to see me. That means, when I first came to Lubbock, I had nobody, and I thought I was going to be alone for the rest of my life. God said, no, I got the perfect people for you to be your close friends, which y'all know their names, because I mentioned them quite a bit, you know. Me and Mima, when we got back in contact, or we got along here and there, but we would. I would end up blocking her and stuff. But we're good now. We're getting along now. And me and Karen, we would constantly disagree with each other. We couldn't get along. That's how it was when we were kids. But we got along sometimes, just not a lot. And I shared the gospel with her, and she blocked me. And a month later, on Mother's Day, she unblocked me. She said she did it for Mom. I'm going to talk about something serious. I'm going to be as truthful as I can about this. But I'm going to talk about my dad. Only I'm going to talk about things I'm comfortable talking about. When I turned 21, I moved to a host home. He was ignoring my calls for a month. He called me the week of Thanksgiving, which is my mother's birthday. Which y'all know my mother is with the Lord. And he said that he and my younger siblings were going to go see Grandpa for Thanksgiving. And I asked him, and he didn't invite me. He said, I knew this was a lie. He said that he didn't have the quote-unquote money. I knew one thing, if he had the money to spend on my brother, my sister, his girlfriend, and his collections that he has, then he should have had the money to include me. You know? I cried so hard that night. So as I mentioned in one of my episodes, I can't remember which one, I think, last season, that I brought up to Peyton and the other Krista, how I've been feeling about my dad, I couldn't trust him and stuff. But they helped me through it. I'm so thankful that they did. 2 days before Christmas, I confronted my dad about me not trusting him, the reason why. He denied it after me telling him all over and over. He blocked me on Facebook, he abandoned me, and after my dad abandoned me, I was so sad for a long time, you know. This is serious. I'm going to give a little warning before I say this. If this may be triggering. You know, if you need to, you know, fast forward to the next part, feel free to do so. But I will say this. Two weekends in a row, months ago, this year, I was laying in my bed. I was still so sad from what my dad did. I was feeling sad, really bad. And I thought about getting a bottle of pills and taking them and ending my life. I really did think about that. And my foster parent had to lock off my meds, and my mental health didn't get better until my psychiatrist uploaded my meds. After a couple of days, I've been feeling to feel better. Krista B was glad that I've been feeling better. I'm still doing better to this day, yes, but not having my dad around, knowing how he is, does hurt my heart. But I talked to somebody about, Keisha or Krista or somebody. Thanksgiving and Christmas are not my thing because I was abandoned by my family. Krista welcomes me to spend the holidays with her and her family. I'm grateful that she welcomed me into her family as a family friend. you know, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful I have a second family that I can spend the holidays with. And Mom's mom said that everyone feels, quote unquote, bad that I'm not in Plainview. If that were true, like, whoever was feeling bad I wasn't there, they will contact me and make an effort to come see me. And they don't. You know, that's why I find it funny that she said that. And she also said that I abandoned the family, which is not true. But anyway, that's in the past. Despite not having my family in my life, I have Krista B., Peyton, and others from church. My mom was LADC. I also have my sister Karen, my meemaw, and some of my relatives on my dad's side. The only ones I really talk to on my dad's side are Aunt Sarah, Uncle Corey, and Aunt Amy. Me and Cindy kind of don't really talk. I don't know why. Me and Grandpa don't talk either. But that's okay. Sometimes I'm in my room crying because of what my family did to me. And sometimes I'll just look at pictures, just wish that everything, I mean, my childhood wasn't perfect, but it was healthy, you know, because I had my family around to support me. And now that I'm an adult and I moved to another town, no, they're not there, you know. I only have a few relatives on my dad's side and just a couple of them on my mom's side. I mean, me and Aunt Dawn don't talk anymore because her and I got into it. I apologized to her, but no response. I was like, man. You know, sometimes I wish I could be adopted, but technically I am adopted because I've been adopted into the family of God. You know, and then I'm Joanne and Kim and Cora and Becca and Alice's daughter. Well, I adopted them as my mom. You know, they're like they're my moms. I'm grateful they're my moms. Sometimes I'll be at my day hub to sitting there missing my family and Mama Cora or Mama Joanne will ask me what's wrong. I'll tell them I miss my family. It sucks being abandoned by your family, especially when you have no parents, you know. I don't have any parents. I do, but my mom's with the Lord, like I mentioned, and my dad shows forever. So, being an orphan adult sucks so much. I just wish my family could care, you know. I mean, I used to act up. Yes, I admit that, but I wasn't in a safe environment after my mom's passing. And if y'all want to know more about that, go to season 1, episode 7. There's more details about that. But I'll give a little bit more details about what happened. Just a little bit of details went on there. Like, they did stuff they weren't supposed to. I'm not going to say what, so I don't want to, like, get in trouble or anything. But, like, there was yelling, there was arguments, you know. I remember being hit on and stuff sometimes. I remember being so scared of Amos coming in my room to hit me, which he's never done that, but that was my biggest fear. And, like, they used to call me names. One time, I was at church in Plainview, at the Baptist church I frequently went to, and Mima called me multiple times. I don't remember if I called her by answering the phone, but we're on the phone. And she said it was my fault that APS got involved. I hung up the phone. I was just standing, like, in the hallway. Angela noticed something was wrong, and she texted me what was wrong. I told her what happened. I know there wasn't much she could do to help, but she always listened. It gave me the best advice. And I appreciate her for doing that. Another time, Amos was having a fit about something. I don't remember what it was. And I asked him, what's wrong with you? He said, I can't wait to get you out of my room. But going forward, I don't have to worry about that anymore. I really don't. And I'm grateful that I'm safe in Lubbock. You know. Some of us in DNS, some of us clients, I'm not going to put names out there just for safety. But most of us in the special needs company we live in, like, it's either we come from trauma or our families don't want us. You know, like, they just dump us on the group home. Fortunately, I come from both. Although I wasn't dumped onto the group home, I chose to come to the group home. Graham would never abandon me like that. Because Graham loved me no matter what I did. She still showed her love to me. I don't know about my mom, given how circumstances are. If mom was still alive, I probably wouldn't have her either. It's hard living with no parents. It's hard living with relatives that are unreliable. But then again, I have my church family and my LADC mamas. And I'm doing really good. I'm doing the best I can to go forward and focus on the people that God has given me. Thank you for listening. Come back soon for episode 6. Bye!